Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, Brian Freeman, and we are visiting this week, leading into the opening game of the football season, with Assistant Coach and Defensive Coordinator Kane Womack. Coach Womack, thanks for coming by this week.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
You've had 4 weeks of camp where it's been nothing but grinding out in the field day after day against your own team. How excited are you to get going and get in the game week and all the stuff that comes with actually preparing for an outside opponent?
Well, I mean, I think when you spend as much time as we do banging against each other in the month of August, you're obviously ready to play. But as a coach, it's that fine line of you want to go out and play the game, but you also know that you have a lot to get done in the final game week of Ole Miss. And Coach Jones, I think, rightfully so, has kind of structured this fall camp in a way that we have spent most of the time on ourselves and just getting good on good work. And so we've really waited until this last week to spend or to turn our attention to Ole Miss. And so
now I know that you've had plenty of time to look at this because, of course, the schedule officially came out in early March, but you're opening the season going against Ole Miss, who's one of the more explosive offenses in the Southeastern Conference, and then, not that you look ahead, but week two is against an Oklahoma State team that's nationally ranked with a Heisman Trophy candidate and first-round draft picks on offense. Just how challenging a task do you have in front of you these first couple weeks of the regular season?
Well, and really probably the first half of the season when we were doing our off-season studies looking at the first half of our opponents, our GAs came in and said, Coach, you do realize that five of our first six opponents are all top 25 offenses from last season. So, you know, it going into year two, I'm excited for the challenge because I do think we're in a position to execute at a very high level defensively, and we also have some bodies back, and we have some depth at some key positions. Defensive line, probably most important, that I'm anxious to kind of handle that first half of the season.
You know, when you look and paint a broad picture, whether it's, you know, when you sat down and interviewed with Coach Jones or when you're with recruits, you know, how do you describe what your general philosophy is on building and structuring your defense?
Well, for us, we want to be an aggressive defense that creates negative plays and takeaways. And I think when you look at the history of our defense, and I'm including the defenses that my dad has had because it's the same system, over the years we've always been able to do that, create negative plays and takeaways. What we have emphasized on top of that, and I think what has made us a really good defense and can make us a great defense this year, is limiting the opponent's big plays at the same time. And so being very smart and calculated about when we pressure, when we take some chances, and when we don't. And I think because we've been such a good situational defense, and what I mean by that is how we play third downs and how we play the red zone, we can be very smart about how we play those first and second downs and keep ourselves into out of negative situations.
You know, at this point in the year, as you get into the regular season, describe a regular, almost typical day. How much of it is meetings? How much of it is coaching? How much of it is studying film? Take us from when you get to the field house to when you leave, what your day looks like at this point in the year.
Yeah, I mean, it does vary. The front half of the week, and I mean the Sunday, Monday, is more front-loaded into where we're spending more time watching the opponent and getting prepared to what message do we want to get across to our players. And so on those days, you're averaging, you know, close to 12 hours of actual film per day and just watching the opponent. And then you couple that in with some meetings. on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when you actually have the brunt of your practices, then it gets it more into spending time with our players as well as watching film as coaches from our practices and seeing the things that we need to fix or tweak, or this kid needs to understand this play a little bit differently. And so that transition phases into more time with the players as the week goes on.
If you don't mind, to describe for us kind of the process of how you take your overall playbook and come up with a plan for a given Saturday. How much of it is what you think works against what you think you're going to see? How much of it is what you think your guys execute well? What goes into the actual card that you have with you on the sideline on Saturday?
Well, I do think that's a great question, and I think that's probably the defensive coordinator's dilemma is, you know, do we adjust our defense to stop the offense, or are we going to be who we're going to be and simply teach our offense each week? What is the offense doing? Okay, what are the things that we have to take away based off of what they're going to give us and how we know they're going to attack our defense? And that's what we kind of base our whole philosophy off of is we're going to be who we are. We're still multiple and we're still aggressive, but we spend a lot more time teaching the offense to our players each week. Our players know our defense. They know our scheme. What are the indicators that the offense gives us from week to week, and what are the things that we know we have to take away based off of how they're going to attack us?
When you look at film after a game and you have a good game defensively, what is it that you find consistently shows up that the team did well? What's the key, do you think, for success on your side of the ball every week?
I think typically three things always end up showing up. One, we tackled well. We were a great tackling defense, and we got people on the ground. Whether they, you know, if they catch the ball or they break a run, we're going to get them on the ground because the offense is going to make some plays. Two, we executed well enough to eliminate the opponent's big plays. So not only did we create some negative plays of our own, and I think those just happened naturally throughout the course of a game, but we eliminated the opponent's big plays. And then the last one is we played great situational football. We won the third down battle. When they got in the red zone, we won that battle for our standards. And typically when I walk away from a game, I know if those three things happened, we did a pretty good job.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Jaguar defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Kane Womack. You know, you're entering your second season now on the staff, and so one of the things I want to ask, going back to when you arrived here last year before spring practice, how do you approach a task like this? You have a system and a philosophy, and you come in with personnel that may not have necessarily been recruited to what you do. How do you go about, how much of it was your philosophy and how much of it was, these are the guys I have, and so I'm going to shift a little bit to make this work best?
Well, I do think that as a coordinator, you do have an ideal philosophy of what you want your players to look like, how you want to recruit, all those types of things. I think what makes a good defensive coordinator is somebody that can walk into a new program. He can first capture his coaching staff, which is, I think, if you look at our defensive staff, we're all bought into the same message. We believe in the same things, and we've aligned our philosophies together to get that message across to our players. And then secondly, we have found ways to take these football players at South Alabama and put them in position to make to have the most amount of success. And so last year we had to do that a little bit more. This year we have to do it a little bit less because you start fitting pieces in that fit you, the mold that you ideologically think. And I think that's where we're headed more and more every single year.
So when you think back to last April, last August, what kind of expectations did you have for the Jaguar defense in its first year with you running the show?
Well, when we walked out there at the beginning of the spring and we still had our defensive line intact, I was pretty excited because I think when and this is probably the same for any coach that steps in the door here, you realize the talent that you can keep around here locally and the talent that you can bring in. And so as we got further down the season, you know, you play Mississippi State earlier and San Diego State early, and you can hang with those really good teams because we have some really good players. As we went into the season, you lose some of the depth because of injuries, and the guys that are playing are now wearing down because they're playing every single snap of every single game. And so that to me was something that you look back on and I'm so thankful of what we have now going into this season, which is depth. And we feel like we have depth across the board at a lot of areas. Some of it's inexperienced depth, but at the same time, we have that depth that we can work.
Now, to your credit, it was one of the most improved scoring defenses in the country. Knocked over 10 points a game off, gave up 27 on the year. So you accomplished some things despite those things. And when you look back on it, was there, when you think about that, is that satisfaction? Is that, oh, it's a starting point? We're not even close to what we can do yet. Or do you not, is that gone? Do you even think about that anymore?
No, you do, because obviously you have to build off of something. And so very proud of, despite our injuries and despite the things that we had, the adversities we had to face last season, we still found a way to be the second most improved defense in the country last year. And I'm proud of our guys. I want them to know how proud of them I was. And so we honored that, and we talked about that in the spring. But what we talk moving into year two is, let's not just try to be one of the most improved defenses in the country. Let's actually be one of the best defenses in the country. And I think we're all on the same page, coaches and players alike, on what our goals and our standards are. And we're going to hold each other accountable to those high standards and expectations.
And it leads perfectly into what my next question is, and that's, now that you see them, well, you saw him in March and April, and you see him in all of August. How much more comfortable do you think the guys who have returned are compared to when they were first going through your scheme with you last spring?
Yeah, well, they are they are light years ahead of probably any one place that we were at a year ago. And, you know, sometimes you can misconstrue that and say, okay, well, we're just going to be a whole lot better. We shouldn't lose a game then if we're light years. Well, sometimes that translates and sometimes it doesn't always. But in terms of what our understanding is of the defense and what we have to go out and execute, we're light years of where we were a year ago. And I think that will show up in the way that we play this season.
Visiting on Inside Jag Nation this week with defensive coordinator Kane Womack from the Jaguar football program. And, you know, we talked at the beginning of camp. There are several reasons why I find you to be a compelling guest this week as the Jaguars open against Ole Miss Saturday night, 6:30 on ESPNU. One of them is that your father, Dave, was a longtime collegiate coach, and that included spending the last 5 years at Ole Miss going in, you know, who we're playing this week. But when you think back as a kid, when do you first remember getting involved in football, and was it going with him to practice and just kind of hanging out? And talk about how you started in the sport.
Well, I did. I think I probably fell in love with the game of football right down the road in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, when my dad was the defensive coordinator at Southern Miss. And for those that are football fans, back in the mid and late 90s, Southern Miss had some of the greatest defenses in the country. Not Group of Five or Power Five. They were just some of the greatest in the country. And so I grew up just thinking that's what good defense was. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has a good defense like this. And I didn't realize until later on how special those teams were. So when you grow up with that excitement when you grow up around that environment. I remember I was 6 years old when I got to dress up for Halloween as a football coach, and told my parents that day I was going to be a football coach one day. And I'm not sure I have ever wavered from that thought since I was 6 years old.
Now, growing up, obviously you played, and we'll get into a little of that, because you played collegiately before you turned over to the coaching side of the equation. But do you have any other sports that interest you as a kid, or was it all football all the time?
No, and that's probably goes credit to my parents, who didn't want me to be just a one-dimensional person. You know, they didn't want me to just be a football meathead, and maybe I am. I don't know. You'd have to ask my wife that question. But the truth is, I was probably a better baseball player even going into my high school years than I was football. My passion ultimately was the game of football, and that's what I wanted to pursue as a player and getting ready as a coach. But no, I enjoyed a lot of different things, you know, and definitely multiple sports was part of that.
So you started your collegiate career at Arkansas, played a couple years, and then you finished up, played 3 years at Southern Miss. You know, when you were in high school, other than Arkansas, what kind of options did you have recruiting, and what led you to start your collegiate career there?
Well, my senior year in high school, my dad took a job at the University of South Carolina with Steve Spurrier in his first year. And so I remember sitting down with Coach Spurrier in only a way that he can say, and they had just finished spring ball, and I was still deciding on what I was going to do, I was a fullback at the time, and I remember him sitting down and saying, well, you know, our fullbacks were all pretty bad, so you'll probably come in here and start as a freshman if you want to. And you know just in the way that only I think Steve Spurrier can relay that message to a young kid. And so that was pretty enticing. You know, I ultimately chose Arkansas because it's where I'm from. It was home for me. It was a place that I held dear in the 8 years prior of my dad being there. And so ultimately I just felt like that was home for me. And I felt like I made the right decision for the first couple years of having an SEC championship ring and made some great friends along the way.
And then what ended up leading you deciding to make the switch of schools where you ended up finishing up at Southern Miss?
Well, actually, it wasn't as much my deciding. I was one of those guys that I truly was probably not ready for the rigors of college like I should have been. And so I let my grades slip, and I did some things academically that I should have been more on top of. And you know, my parents are more proactive when it comes to staying on me and all those things, which I'm very thankful for. But my dad yanked my butt out of school for a semester and said, you're going to come back to South Carolina and you're going to go to a technical college for a semester and work and see how your grades come up. And they came up pretty dang quick. And so when the opportunity presented for me to go back that next fall, my dad took a job at the University of Southern Mississippi. It just felt like the right opportunity for me to go, and I just obviously I met my wife there, my best man at my wedding were there, all those things, and it just felt like the right decision.
Now, along the way, like you said, you were real young and you knew ultimately coaching is what you want to do, but like when you were in high school and when you were in college playing, did you ever think about things from a coaching perspective? Is there anything that you picked up from that time that you use today, or once you got done playing and made the switch to coaching, that was it just like flipping a switch and okay, I got a different approach to this now?
No, I joke because the day I graduated from high school, I thought, you know, this is great. You know, most guys think, okay, well, I'm going to play in the SEC and all that. And I thought, this is great. 4 more years until I get to become a football coach, you know. And not to downplay, I loved my college experience and I enjoyed playing at that level. But I always knew this is what I wanted to do, and I was always passionate about it. And growing up, I always saw myself through the lens of a football coach. I thought about things through that lens. I thought about how I would be a coach and a husband, how I would be a coach and a father, and the time demands that it takes on this profession. I think you have to be very proactive about what kind of husband, father you want to be, because it's very easy to slip into that trap of, well, the hours are long and I just don't have enough time for them as well. And so before I ever stepped foot in this profession, I wanted to make sure that those were the things that that I had in the forefront of my mind.
So you got your start on the staff at Tennessee Martin 2010. You were at Jacksonville State 2011. And then 2 years you served as graduate assistant on the staff at Ole Miss.
Working for your father.
Not playing for him, working for him. I'm sure that was a little different. Well, what do you remember most about your time in Oxford?
You know, I will say it was really fun working for my dad. There's a lot of different defensive coordinators out there, some that you don't ever want to GA for and some that you do. And he fortunately was one that he saw his graduate assistants as assistant coaches. And so I was fortunate enough to get to coach a position at that level, and the experiences I got in the SEC doing that were invaluable. The personal side, though, is seeing the environment and the community that we were able to build there is something that I hold very close and very dear to some coaches that are still on that staff and some that have gone other places. But I think there'll be a certain amount of nostalgia when I walk into that stadium on Saturday just because I had some great experiences there.
Now, I was going to ask that next. How many guys are still there that you keep in touch with? And, you know, coaches bounce around a lot, I think, over the course of time. It's just the nature of the profession. So it's not the first time, and it probably won't be the last. But explain game planning against friends and what the trying to make that separation when Saturday comes around. How hard is that?
Not very hard because, you know, it's just like anything. When you play your friends, you want to beat them all the more, right? So, obviously, this is such a big game for our program because I think when you win a game like Mississippi State last year, it shows you what talent is here and what you can do. To do it 2 years in a row shows the ability to hold long-term success here. And so, from that standpoint, it's an opportunity for us to do something. And so, I look at it from a professional standpoint that way. On the other side of it, there's still a handful of guys, I think half the staff that was there with me. Those guys, it's unfortunate the situation that they're in, and I hope that the right things play out for them moving forward in this season. I wish them all the best of luck outside of that first game.
Yeah, you know, just we're going to put on the record, no friendly wagers, nothing of that sort going on, so no one's getting in trouble over this. It's just a game on Saturday.
That's exactly right, just a game.
So after 2 years as GA, you ended up at Eastern Illinois for a two-year stint where you were the coordinator there. When you walked into that situation, what was it like and what kind of goals did you have for what you wanted to accomplish there?
Well, the first thing that we had to do is change the culture defensively. They had just had a team that I think finished number four in the country with a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, who was a second-round draft pick and now playing for the New England Patriots as a backup to Tom Brady. And so their offensive production was off the charts. Their defensive production, not quite as much. And so it was something that we had to change the mindset of those guys. We wanted to be the strength of the unit. We wanted to be the unit that was the that could carry the load. And I think building that culture there and changing the mindset of those young men was probably one of my biggest accomplishments to this point as a football coach. And so that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of is taking a program and being able to do it here as well, changing the culture of that room and changing the culture of that unit is very rewarding.
So you did 2 years there, and then you guys were back in the playoffs second year. I mean, you had success. What was it that caught your attention that made you apply for this job and interview with Coach Jones?
Well, I think when I found out back in, I guess, 2008 that they were going to start a football program here, I was still playing at the University of Southern Mississippi, so right down the road. You realized all those years the talent that Southern Miss was able to go get out of Alabama and get out of Mobile and Pensacola, and you realized, wait a second here, those guys might actually be onto something starting a program down there. And so I followed them pretty closely over the years, just knowing this region and knowing what this place could be. So when the opportunity came up, I was very adamant and very clear that I wanted a chance. And fortunately, I knew Tyler Siski, who was on this staff already, who had we had worked together at Ole Miss, and he reached out to me, and he was kind of our the liaison between myself and Coach Jones. And I think when I came down here for an interview, him and I just kind of hit it off. And I think Coach Jones and I, we align philosophically in what we believe in changing the culture of our players and attitude. And so it just all kind of fit at the right time.
When you look at it, I mean, you're now on your second job as a coordinator. And when you look at it big picture, I mean, I can guess perhaps head coach is something you want to be, but you prefer the college level. Have you ever thought about coaching in the NFL? You know, long term, what do you kind of see as potential options down the road in this profession?
Well, there's no question. My passion, my heart is right now is as a college coordinator. Ultimately, I do want to be a head coach. And I think that day will come, and it'll be very evident and clear when that opportunity arises, and that I'll be prepared for it. You know, from the standpoint of what I enjoy doing, I enjoy college football. I grew up in college football. I love what it is, particularly down here in the Southeast. I just there's just a culture here of where college football reigns supreme in some ways. And so that to me is the thing that I'd like to do. I love the I love recruiting. I love program changing. I love investing into a community that rallies around their football program.
As we mentioned, you do have a family. You know, wife Melissa, and then you've got your sons Asher and Tatum. Have they shown any interest in what dad does? Have you seen little coaches developing already, or too early for that? I know they're like 3 and 2.
They are, yeah. Asher's 3 and a half, and Tatum just turned 2. It's funny. I some of the biggest hits that I have seen this spring and fall camp happen at my house from those two. So they are two physical, rough, tough little boys, and they are an absolute blast. And Melissa is the most impressive person in our relationship. There's no question, and her ability to invest into our career, and that's kind of how we see it, is we are in the coaching profession together, and she brings those boys up here every day. They come out to practice every day. I think they chase you around even after most of our practices. So you know, it's a family business, I guess, is the best way to put it.
You know, I mean, maybe you haven't thought about it, but with all the talk about out there with what people are looking at and finding health-wise in football, do you prefer that they follow you in football? Do you wish they hope to find happiness in other sports? Do you not care? Just let it play out down the road? I mean, it's a long way away, but, you know, you're in a position where a lot of this stuff probably is of interest to you as your boys grow up and get involved.
You know, I think that is really an excellent question, because I look to my dad and the way that he treated me in the profession growing up, and how I was as a kid. He never once pushed me hard on football. In fact, I don't even remember him giving me many pointers in the game of football. As strange as that seems, a guy that did 38 years in this profession, he didn't really even give me many pointers. But I think he did that as a way to kind of show, hey, I don't want to push you any one way or another. And so I'm not going to do the same for my boys, I am going to do the same way for my boys. And I think they do come by it, honestly, when they see my passion for the game, when they see the passion that we have as a family for these players and the excitement of college football, they're going to be a part of that probably in some form or fashion one day. And not saying they're going to be football coaches, not saying they're even going to be football players, but certainly their passion for the game already at such a young age is fun for me to watch.
And we have joked about it post-practice in the last couple weeks. To their credit, we don't have any photography of it, unfortunately, to prove our point, but they're out there. I saw them come out a couple weeks ago with their hats on backward, just like Dad does on the sidelines, and you're going like, man, it's just kind of funny to see it all happening there right next to you.
Yeah, it is. It's funny, and our players do such a great job with coaches' kids around, and when my boys come around, they're constantly playing with them, and the boys are always wanting to put on the helmets, and they want to tackle each other in those helmets and look like little bobbleheads running around out there. But it is something that I hold so dear to see them out of practice every day and to get to see Melissa, my wife. It's just it is what allows me to keep going when the days get long and the hours get rough.
Our guest this week on Inside Jag Nation is defensive coordinator Kane Womack. We've taken plenty of your time. There have been a couple knocks on the door, but before we let you go, we're gonna put under 2 minutes on the clock, and much like the end of practice a lot these last couple weeks, you got to find a way to get off the field. First thing that comes to your mind, see if you can, how quickly you can do it. And the first question's, what little free time you have, what's your favorite thing to do?
Favorite thing to do, I would say right now it used to be movies. When you have two little boys, you watch very little movies these days, and you spend most of your time with them. So our wrestling matches up in their room is probably my favorite thing right now.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
As a fan, a couple years ago, I got to go to the Ole Miss and the Sugar Bowl, and that was a pretty awesome deal, watching my dad as the defensive coordinator there. There was also a time when he was at Georgia Tech playing in the Orange Bowl. Both those games were pretty awesome to watch as a fan.
You got one event on your bucket list, athletic event you've never been to, but you got to see. What is it?
Oh, man, one on my bucket list as a fan. I've spent most of my time in the South growing up as a kid and in the Southeast. I'd love to go see an Ohio State-Michigan game one day. One of those Big Ten matchups of just somewhat of a slugfest, I guess. That, to me, would be just a unique culture and environment that I've never spent much time in, and I've always wanted to go.
What's the best vacation you've ever been on?
Best vacation. My honeymoon in Cabo, there were some pretty good moments and memories off of that one, I should say.
And you got one place you're going on a dream vacation, never been. Where are you going?
My dad and I would love, and we've talked about maybe doing a trip up into Alaska and maybe going fishing and seeing some of the sights up there. I think that whole atmosphere up there is something I would love to go spend some time in.
I don't know. One of you has the time. I don't think it's you just yet. What's your favorite movie?
Gosh, my favorite movie, I would have to say right now, probably Tombstone is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Favorite book?
Favorite book, Hatchet. I read it when I was in the sixth grade. It's actually about a young boy that gets stranded out in the wilderness, and it's all about his resourcefulness and his way to survive. And I always carried that to heart, just the ability to be resourceful in whatever situation you put yourself.
Favorite musical artist?
Oh, man. I'm going to say I'm a Coldplay fan, man. I love Coldplay. That's my songs.
And when some producer from Hollywood comes down Southeast 20, 25 years from now and says, what an amazing story, this Kane Womack and his family and his football tradition, going to make a movie, what actor plays the lead role of Kane Womack?
I knew you were going there with that one. Golly, you put me on the spot with that one. Somebody, let's see. You know, one of my favorite actors would be Kevin Costner, and he's probably a little old to play me, so I'll have to find somebody of a new generation. But the closest thing to Kevin Costner, I think, is what I'd like to be.
He'll take care of the head coaching years later on. It'll fit.
Yeah, I guess so. That's probably true.
Our guest this week on Inside Jag Nation has been defensive coordinator Kane Womack, Jaguars and Rebels from Oxford, 6:30 on ESPNU Saturday night. Best of luck in the opener and all season.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!